and a good Sunday afternoon to you. I hope that you've enjoyed a great day of being in the presence of the Lord to worship Him and to hear from Him, and that you've been enjoying a day of rest with your family and with your friends. Hi, this is Dr. Doug Cowan, your KAXL pastor and a family therapist here in Kern County. And for the next 30 minutes, we're going to consider together some prayer requests that have come into the KAXL offices over this past week. So let's spend some time together praying, and let's take a few minutes to look at some topics of importance for you and for your family.
So you thought you had to keep this up, all the work that you do. So we think that you're good, and you can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you built up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. This is where the healing begins.
From Psalm 18. I love you, Lord. O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the source of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies.
Thank you.
Well, let's just take a few minutes and look at some of the prayer requests that have come into the office here at KAXL over the last few days or so, that we can pray for them together, that we can encourage each other and just go before the throne of our Lord together, praying for each other. We have a listener who asks for prayer for what they call personal anger issues that are affecting their marriage and their family. And we are going to talk about this a little bit later on in the program, how anger can impact us. But here is somebody who's a listener who is asking for prayer for this issue. And maybe several of you share in this kind of an issue, and we want to pray for you too. So Father, I do ask, we listening do ask for this person who is called in and for so many others who are impacted by anger in their lives. And we pray for those also who are being affected by that person's anger, whether it's their spouse or their children, someone else that's important in their life. We pray for them as well. For those who are dealing with anger, Father, we pray you would deliver them from that, that you would bring healing to whatever wounds may be behind that, that you would help them to come through this so that they would live a life truly worthy of the calling that they've received in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, deliver them, heal them, and bring them to a place where they live lives of peace, peace in Christ. And for those who are affected by this anger, bring healing to them, protect them, guard their hearts, guard their minds. Father, we pray for a good outcome here. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the holiday season, we had a number of prayer requests from people who are grieving the death of a loved one. We had prayer requests from parents who were grieving the death of a child. We had prayer requests from a family of a listener where the husband and father had died a few years ago, and they were missing him, missing his presence, having to go through the holiday season without their loved one. And many of you had to do that this year and will have to do it again next year. And here we are starting a new year. We do want to pray for you. Father, please be with those who are grieving and help us to know how to support those who are grieving because someone that they dearly love has died in this past year or two or three. Help us to know how to be your hands and your feet and your heart. We know that you care about those who are grieving. We know that you love those who are grieving. And we pray that you would surround them with your presence, fill them with your peace, and give them your perspective, please, Father, and help them as they deal with all of the issues in this coming year. Bring healing to them through this next year. Bring peace to their hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we have a number of people who call in every week asking for prayer because they or a loved one are sick, and they're asking for healing. And there are many every week that call in. Father, we pray for those who are sick. You know each and every one of them, whatever they're dealing with, whether it's cancer or heart conditions or valley fever or what, all of these things that are here on my desk, Father, you know each and every one of these people who are asking for prayer for their health. Father, please grant them health and strength. We pray for healing for these people. We bring them before you as brothers and sisters. We ask that you would heal them. We also ask, Father, that you would use this illness as a way of revealing yourself even more fully to each one of these hearts and their families, that each one would come to love you deeper and trust you more and understand you more, to know you better. Father, we pray that you would use this illness in the lives of the person who is sick. We do pray that you would give them strength and healing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
holding on. I can't let go, I can't move on. I wanna believe there's me.
Well, of course, we're just starting off a new year, and Happy New Year to all of you. We hope that you had a great holiday celebration and that this new year will be a blessing to you. And here at KAXL, we're working hard to expand our ministry reach. We are already partnering with several outstanding ministries around Bakersfield, like Operation Soul Winner, several local churches. We love what Cheryl's doing with Compassion International. And we know that the good news of Jesus Christ, when broadcast on the radio, it can travel into places, homes and businesses and cars, through doors and walls and windows. It can travel into places where other types of ministries simply can't reach. KAXL is able to reach people with the gospel because we are a radio station. And now we're expanding our ministry by providing seminars and workshops to local churches, churches like yours, as a way of strengthening your family and your church, and as a way to reach into your church's neighborhood. We're offering for free marriage workshops, parenting classes, even stress management seminars. And the size of your church doesn't matter to us. In fact, we really want to help those small and medium-sized churches in Bakersfield and Delano and Shafter and Tehachapi, where the pastors are working so hard to care for their flocks and reach into their neighborhoods. If you'd like to know more, just give us a call. I'll take you to Starbucks. I'll tell you all about it. And to all of you, thank you. Thank you for supporting the ministry of KAXL. Well, we said we're going to talk a little bit about anger, and we want to do that now. And as we start, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about anger, but let me just start by acknowledging that there are potentially several different causes of anger in a person. And what we're going to focus on is what the Bible has to say about anger, and the Bible's assumptions about anger are pretty much that it's caused by feeling inconvenienced or feeling out of control or feeling whatever your feelings are. So the Bible approaches it as purely in terms of it being a spiritual issue or a soul emotion kind of issue, and looks at it from that perspective, from God's perspective. Let me just acknowledge that there are other causes of anger. There are medical issues that can cause anger. It can be the medication that you are taking that can be causing anger, or the medication that you ought to be taking. It can be from things like a head injury can cause anger, a brain injury of some kind. It can be from a seizure disorder. In that emotional trauma kind of place where the emotions and brain function intersect, it can be something like post-traumatic stress disorder or some kind of other kind of a trauma that people have lived through. It can be from depression and so on. These can be those neurobiological, medical kinds of causes for anger. And those, you need to see a professional about those. You need to go see a doctor. You need to go see a therapist. You need to go see a psychologist. You need to go see somebody who can help you pinpoint if those are the issues. For some people, it's the start of a brain tumor. For some people, it is, you know, other kind of medical things. You need to go find this out. If it just came on, you know, out of the blue. And if this is something that people are going to say, this is your character trait. If you think you can come before God and in front of people and say, this is just how I am, you just have to take me out, you know, whatever, that this is just sort of a characteristic of who you are, now we need to talk about this. So let me start this part of the conversation by saying something that won't be very popular with some of you listening, but you need to hear it anyway. We act like who our Father is. Jesus points this out when he talks about some people who are children of the living God, and other people he would point at and say, you are children of your father, the devil. All right, now, the biblical perspective is that we act like who our Father is. Now, do we do that perfectly? No. But this is the first place you've got to come to consider this. If your life is defined by anger, if you have people in your home cowering in the corner because of your anger, you are not acting as if your father is God. You are acting as if your father is the devil. So let's just start there now that I've made you mad already. Look, is it true that God can get angry? Of course. But what is it that God gets angry at? He gets angry at human disobedience or rebellion. He gets angry at human idolatry. We see in passages like Isaiah 5, where there's a warning. We have all of these woes, W-O-E-S, woes, warnings against, from the prophet Isaiah, against people who are, for instance, greedy businessmen or partiers who have no regard for the Lord and mock him openly, or those who call evil good and good evil, those who are wise in their own eyes, and those who pervert justice. You know, the prophet's warning those people, hey, God is going to get mad at you guys, and you're not going to like what's going to happen to you. Isaiah chapter 5. So there's a warning there. That's just one of many that we see in the Old Testament, for example. We do see Jesus cleansing the temple. He was angry. He does all of this, you know, what we would look at as, wow, you know, it's like violent stuff that he's chasing people out of the temple. We can have times of prophetic anger and not be sinning. But let's be honest. I mean, that's pretty rare. I mean, really, if you go over to Haiti and you see poverty and injustice and people dying from stupid stuff they should never be dying from in places like Haiti or Guatemala or wherever, Mexico or whatever else. Yeah, and you get angry about a kid dying because he got a cold or an ear infection. Yeah, you should be angry about that. That's injustice. We should be angry about that. And we should do something positive about it. So this isn't the kind of anger we're talking about here. We're talking about anger that ruins your life or ruins other people's lives. Not the kind of anger that sets prisoners free or that ends injustice. That's prophetic anger. When we're angry, it's usually because we have expectations that were not met, and so we get hurt. And when we get emotionally hurt, we typically turn that into anger. It's pretty common. Sometimes we get angry because we've been afraid and we've had an adrenaline dump, and that whole fight or flight system gets kicked on. And when we figure out that we're kind of okay, often we get angry. Often we get angry as humans because of sin. Sin in our lives, especially pride or exalting yourself above others. This leads to anger, and it's sin. And that's more common in why we can get angry. James chapter 1 talks about this, where James writes, "Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God or the righteous life that God desires in his people. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent," and so on. So there's an assumption about, you know, what anger does to us. It keeps us from living the kind of life God wants for his children to live, the kind of life that Paul would define as being worthy of the calling that we have received. Anger keeps us from living that kind of life. Therefore, we need to get rid of some of the things that cause anger in our life. And James describes those things as moral filth or evil that is so prevalent around us. We need to get rid of those things. Now, you know, Paul addresses the whole idea of anger, the whole problem of anger in Ephesians, for example. And in Ephesians, he's trying to tell us, as Christians, how we are to live our life. He's not talking to people who aren't Christians. He's talking to people who are Christians. And he says this, chapter 4 of Ephesians would be a great chapter to really, really, really learn. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Then he quotes from Psalm chapter 4. He says, "In your anger, do not sin." Okay, so there's that quote that he's throwing out. He says, that's important for Christians to understand. In your anger, do not sin. Then he adds, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." All right, so whatever it is, you know, we need to get it resolved. And if we don't, he says, verse 27, "And do not give the devil a foothold or real estate or ground or a place in your life." It's because one of the ways that Satan attacks our life is through anger. Anger that's not prophetic or righteous or godly anger. Anger that's just because we're being stupid. Anger that's because we are wanting stuff we can't have, or we're feeling inconvenienced, or the fight or flight thing kicked on, or whatever it might be. And that this kind of unresolved anger that goes on day after day after day after day gives the devil a foothold, a place in our life. And we don't want to be given the devil any of our real estate. Jesus died to redeem us. We don't want to be going back in the wrong direction here. What he's saying, part of this is for those of you who think we're supposed to just excuse your character trait of anger, he's saying, hey, you know what? You're really acting like the devil when you do that. And you're giving the devil a place in your life. This is not how Jesus acted. It's not how our Father in heaven acts. It's not how he wants his children to act. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could change. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Instead, hey, be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a lot about that in Ephesians chapters 3, 4, and 5. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? And it's an entirely different lifestyle than a lifestyle of being angry. Now, another thing we need to understand is that when we're angry, we say things that hurt other people. Our anger wounds other people. It wounds our spouse. It wounds our children. It wounds our neighbors. It wounds our friends. It's our anger that does this, and it does it through our words primarily, not exclusively, but primarily. Our words can be like swords that wound other people for years. Please accept the power of words to either heal or hurt. What is it, a proverb that says that, you know, life and death are in the power of words, and we have to be careful what we say. So Paul even says this again. It's in that fourth chapter of Ephesians where he says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs so it can benefit those who listen." Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. None. Zero. It's not a suggestion. This is how God wants His people to live. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We represent our Father in heaven, who is God Almighty. And all that we do or all that we say represents the kingdom of heaven. So we have to grow to become more and more like our Father in heaven, who is perfect, who is loving, who is holy. So we want to be more and more like Him. All right, so whatever excuse it is that you have for your anger, please just go ahead and throw it in the trash can. And instead, let's start moving our lives to become more and more like Jesus, to be filled with peace and life, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to act accordingly.
Hi, this is Amber. For years, I introduced Bakersfield to Adventures and Odyssey episodes, and now I get to introduce you to a great new way to strengthen your family and reach into your neighborhood. KAXL is teaming up with my dad, Dr. Doug Cowan, to provide marriage seminars and parenting classes to local churches like yours. We want to help to build your church and strengthen your family, and it's free. To find out more, call the station or go to KAXL.com.